We have been spent our time with Psalm 119. In Hebrew poetry is called acrostic. That means they use the alphabet, or Hebrew alphabet, every word of it, and go through the Hebrew alphabet. So we have each alphabet, we have 8 verses. So far we have go through the first Aleph, and the Bet, and the Gimel. Passages we have been meditating. And now today we go call to the alphabet Dalet. Let me explain. Your command, for you have set my heart free. So Lord, we just read your word, and again, it's difficult for us to penetrate this word unless you give us the grace. So we pray that the following moments may the meditation of our heart and the word of our mouth will be pleasing to you. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. So there's 3 words. That's why I wanted to track with you in the outline there, so one can help. The 3 words follow closely with the text there. First, it is from verse 25 to verse 27. 3 words there. The word in desperate helplessness. In desperate helplessness. No help. Can't help. And desperate helplessness. And verse 28 to verse 31, it is the word that will help us to think through that those verses is in deep pain. In deep pain. Or in awful pain. And the third word we would like to think about is the verse 32, the only verse there. It is the word in surprising or wonderful grace. In surprising or wonderful grace. So, in desperate helplessness, in awful pain, and also in surprising or wonderful grace. That are 3 words we want to look through this 8 verses for this passage. You look at that here. In this 8 verses, the author, the author will take into experience that it's not unusual, but it is special because here is we call it extremity of life. It's usually life in normal way. You and I live in a normal way. We process life in normal way. But there are times that things so difficult for our life. Everything just bad just happened to us in certain time of our life that we don't know what to do. And reduce us to a position that we almost immobilized. Our mind doesn't work. We're at our wit's end. We cannot think straight. Our emotion is just in turmoil, roller coaster. And our body just shatter. And that moment like that, usually we can think. We can solve the problem. We can face the issue. We can process the thing, the problem that present to us. And we can have different kind of a solution or alternative to do and to think, to deal with situation. But there are times that we don't know exactly what happened, that we don't really know what happened. Normally I know what kind, I know the factor happened to me, and I can figure out ways that to deal with those factors. But when it comes to such a way that it comes with a volume, or with an intensity or velocity that's so strong that I'm unable to process, I don't know what hit me. Sometimes I said I was hit in my face by 2x2 piece of wood. That means it just blacked me out. So here is the scripture, these 8 verses, dealing with that situation. And you can understand that in the scripture we're honest with us, because scripture is not merely talking about good time, but scripture talks about bad time too. This is not a bad time, but worse time. Every one of us, a few moments before I talked to the teen, you are great, you're strong, you're handsome, or that sort of thing, you're studying, everything. You have a great promise in future of your life, in future, everything good. But yet, for many of us sitting here, many of us have been going through. Now, we went through the time where our teen, and then high school, and then college, and we graduate and get a job, we get married, and everything. At that time, things happen. That time, it's good. We succeed in our life and do things, good things. But there are times that happen to us, really reduce us to a state that we don't know what to do. We're just sitting there with all the knowledge, with all the experience, with all degrees, with all the houses, with all the position role given to us, but we just speechless, don't know what to do, just sit there, just like they're called sitting duck. Can't move, can't do a thing, can't think straight. So you can see that the scripture is dealing with those situations. If I talk to you at a time that talk to you in rosy way, you are good, you are strong, you are on that sort of thing, you are qualified or that thing, yes, you are. I am. God did give us the ability. God did give us a good body, although He did give all that, but yet there's something not merely about myself, but I myself have to live with situation, outside situation, external situation. There's some situation I can handle, but there are situations so difficult I can handle it. In school, they would take you through the situation, control, experiment, that they take you a situation that you can handle it. There are enough factors that you know, and you can solve the problem. That's the way we learn. But when, in real life, There's no control of all the factors coming to our life, and it is fair game. We don't know who hit us. We don't know where it comes. We don't know where it goes. So here, we're just sitting there. Sometimes we say unfair, but yes, life's unfair. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we collapse, and many of them did not make it. I happened last week on a piece of news. The wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton. I didn't have a TV, so I slept through. I didn't know anything. Morning, I look at news. Oh, that's a wedding. I remember the wedding of Diana and William, you know, the wedding of the century, and, you know, what happened. But when I read that, the people talk about the dress of the bride. It's secret at the end. And nobody knows it. And the wedding, the dress is so beautiful. It's just dignified and everything. I heard about it. I didn't know that. But I look at it, this is nice. It's nice. It's dignified, yeah. That's because when I married, my wife didn't have any. She just wear a high minimum dress. That's all what she said. And my marriage only cost $60. So, what do you expect? We don't even have a diamond ring. So we go, my wife, we are so poor, you know. We just have a ring about the ring I bought for her. Both her ring and my ring is only $20. Bought two rings, so cheap. Everything cheap. So that's why marriage didn't last long. Okay. What was said about at the end, you know, the firm that makes that wedding gown is a firm in England, and that firm gave the name of the person. It's a male person who was the owner of that. But now the person who do the gown is a girl. I think I recall 39 years old, and she just took this job about 1 year. What happened? It shocked me. The owner, the famous designer of that firm, commits suicide. What happened? I just a little bit of that, and she's come in to replace the owner in a year, and now she do this major wedding gown for the princess. When you're able to set up a business, thriving, successful, respected, and why do you commit yourself, commit suicide? What? If you have nothing, you have no money, you don't have, you are not successful, you are at the bottom of the pie, and then you commit suicide, I understand. But when you succeed so marvelously up there, everybody look at you, admire you, why do you have to end your life? I don't know. Maybe some of you know the reason why he commits suicide. But why is that? The commit suicide is not merely the people who fail. The commit suicide may be for the people who succeed. Life had come to him in such a way that he conquered life, but yet at certain point, life becomes too much. Everyone outside externally see that he are success, but internally he knows that's the end of it, and then he hung himself, or he shot himself in the head, and he died. Or he takes some pill. So here is a passage of scripture talking about that situation, two situations in life that we don't know what to do, and it throws us into the situation that we beyond our measure, beyond our coping skill. The situation we are in, we can choose, but sometimes we cannot choose the situation. The situation just catches us, and we are forced to live in that situation. And when in that situation, it creates a condition inside of us. But the condition cannot respond to the challenge outside, so we collapse. And here is the two situations that the psalmist tells us, the two situations in life that he himself went through. And he tells us the first one, when he was desperate, total helplessness. He cannot help himself. And what was that? I laid low in the dust. The word laid low there is really in Hebrew, dalek, that means being stuck, stick. The word, I get stuck, that's it. And literally, I get stuck. And he said, I get stuck where? In the dust. What happened? Life is created out of the dust by the living breath of God. Living away for a time, a lifetime, living away from the dust. Interaction with dust. Build a life. And at the end of that life, we'll go back to dust. But halfway through, not the end yet, when you have reached the high point of your life with all your energy, focus, everything. And now, he said, I'm suddenly find myself stuck in the dust. And in the scripture, the dust talking means symbolize death. So here, he didn't tell us what exactly the reason, but he said, I come too near to death. Usually my life take off, live away from, interact with the dust, and I can create, I can do things. I can make life. But here suddenly life just dipped down. No energy. And I just hit the point that to the dust. But sometimes you will go up, but this time I hit there and cannot free myself. I get stuck with the dust. Now, if I get stuck then, I should know what I get stuck in. And he said, with the dust? That means I get stuck with death itself. Now, you understand something of what he experienced. Death comes unannounced. The dying condition invades you without forewarning. You didn't expect it at this time. Your life is great. You're planning going on. You think about next 4 decades, 5 decades. You're still living on. You are on the rising curve of your career, or your marriage, or everything going up. And in human calculation, you said, oh, the curve going on, it will go on for next 30 years. And if at this point I achieve so much, the next 30 years I will achieve so much, but suddenly everything go down and dip in the stuff. And it's not going to hit the dust, but I was stuck. I'm unable to escape the dust. Get stuck and unable to get unstuck. That is a spin that many of us, the older one, may understand. There are things, there are times that we think we can solve the problem. Just give me enough time. Just give me enough the resource and I solve the problem with you. But there are times that quietly we lie in bed at night and say, this situation is impossible. I don't think I can get myself out of this situation. I don't have the resource. I don't have the intelligence. I don't have the skill to get me out. Get me out of this. And that will be an awesome time when you face yourself. You face the situation. What next? Next thing when you get stuck and you're unable to get unstuck yourself is you will be there definitely forever. Now you understand the situation. Get stuck. Talking about this one, sometimes we sit that the Word of God is so bored. That's not that bored. Because sooner or later, you and I will hit this point. Doesn't matter how smart we are. Doesn't matter how much you have achieved. The future is open, but there will be a point that you and I will get to this point, that you and I will get stuck.
don't know what to do, don't know how to get out of it. So when it comes to me like that, if it comes to other people, I'd observe it. I can stand outside. It didn't happen to me. So I will go to the books and talk. I can say, I give some advice. But the people inside, they don't even get able to get that advice. Normally I can get that advice. I can think through. But in this situation, my mind doesn't work. You give me advice. It's useless advice. And when it happened to me, I think that if I can learn the lesson before I look around to all the people who will go down that way, I can avoid it. But life is so unpredictable that things happen not the same way. They are not the same script. It will be a different script. Personal script, but you and I get there unable to get out. Is that what we do? Get stuck with the dust, that means die. That's the end of it. So now you understand the scripture now. You listen carefully now. In that situation, what the psalmist said, I was stuck in the dust, preserve my life according to you. Or the word preserve, that make me alive. The Hebrew word make alive, quicken me, bring your life into my life, make me alive again. The issue is it, life. Get stuck, not because the intelligent, not because everything, but it is life. The life now. At this point, he knows exactly what I need here is not degree, nothing, how smart, but it is life itself. And life, he doesn't have it. He dipped down because his life was exhausted. Now, in that case, he understands one thing, and he, the crying out, he talked to God, you give me life, revive me, somehow connect your life with me, and let your life flow into me now at this moment. That is the first cry he cried to, according to your word. Now, he tells us where life comes from. I did not know, but I know that from Scripture, from what you say, you are life. You create this life for me, and you continually maintain my life. And now I'm stuck. That means there's something cut between you and me. So now, according to your word, I said, reconnect my life with your life, and let your life flow into my life. That's the solution. In that situation, the saving point is the psalmist unremember the scripture. Remember the scripture tell him that where life come from and where the continuing life will be depend on. And that saved his life. So the first thing he called to God, make me alive. Why? According to your word. But that word, that request is very strong. I do not request this one because I'm smart. I do not request this one because I, after thinking and analyze situation, this I come to conclusion. I request this one because you say so. Because in your word, my life comes from you. And the maintenance of my life, it has to come from you. So make me alive. Second one, he said, I recount my way to you and you answer me. Now, the first one, the first make me alive is in imperative. In the present, asking God to do something, a request. But now, in verse 26, he talked about the thing he did in the past, the action he did in the past. I already did it in the past. What did you do? I recount my way. To whom? To God. And what happened? God, in the past, already the action, answer me. Now, this is a report, what happened? After he asked God the request, give me life when I'm stuck here. And he said, I recount my ways. Oh yes, I have ways, choosing ways to do.
I'm encouraging people. I'm choosing carefully the way I do. Where I get stuck here, because the way have been started way back, years back. Take me slowly to this point when I dip down and get stuck wet in the dust. So I said, I go back, I tell God all the ways that I'm traveling all these years, my thinking, my body, everything, my living, in my family, everything, in my study and everything, in my career, everything. I tell him everything. I'm honest. I remember my decision. I told God, this person between me, God, this already happened. I told God everything about, I do not hide from God what I did, what happened to me, what I chose. So I tell God everything, and then what? In that talking to God, after I tell him honestly, whatever of my life, history of my life, leading me to this point when I get stuck here, I asked him, give me life, but I had to tell him, God, everything I did in the past. Didn't God know that? Yes, God knows everything about I did. But this moment between me and God, I had to tell God. Why? Because the act of recounting, go back to my past, bring it out, be honest with God and say everything. What God named, I used the name God used. Because sometimes the same thing, but you know, I use different name. But now, I'm recounting God, I use what God said. This action is sin. This action is not a mistake, this action is sin. In the eye of God, that is sin. Then I recount God, I didn't make mistake, this is sin. I recount God, I said, hey, every bit of it, something people know, some people don't know, but I tell you, God, I tell you everything that happened in my life, secret, I choose it now. After that, what? God listened and God answered me. Again, that will tell us something, because when I stuck there, it means that the crucial point is between me and God. I receive this life from God. I doing it. I think that I'm free to do anything, but you soon find, each one of us soon find that God is behind that. It's God, always the person I'm accountable to. And God forced me to the point that I'm totally get stuck there, hit to the dust, and then unable, and then forced me to be honest with myself and with God and tell God everything, and then God answered. And he used two passwords. That means already I did it in the past, and God answered me in the past. He said, this is something you and I had to be in my history, and your history had to be part of your and my history. That I honest dealing with God, I talk to God. Honestly, I don't talk to my pastor, I don't talk to my spouse, I don't talk to people. But basically between me and my life, essentially, is my talking to God. But God cannot deal with me when I fake. God cannot deal with me when I edit my history. God cannot deal with me. He knows everything, but he let wait for me. He only works with me when I'm totally honest with him and go straight with him point by point. Because he deals with reality, and then I recount my ways. It's not my father's way. It's not my wife tell me to do. It's not my husband. No, it's my way. I'm a married person, but I'm my way. I don't hide behind marriage. God is personal with me. I tell God everything, my way, my history, and then God answer me. Brother and sister, we have to know that you are life, my life. You and I write history in a way that we do. What people see outside, it's just a small matter. But how I level it with God, honestly, it is the key of my life, your life. It is just a thousand ways for me to avoid it. Thousand way for me to fake it as a pastor. I have a way to talk, a tone of talk, a way to stand, and people say that I'm so holy. But that's full of holes.
You see the point? That somewhere I had to come to talk straight about my life with God. And the scripture said, God answered me.
God answered directly to me, and then after that experience, he makes the second request, teach me
about your statue.
So you see, the first request, make me alive. And then, what he did, he tell God everything, and God answered him, and he makes the second request, teach me. Sometimes I think that we are ready to learn something. No, you and I will not be ready to learn, because people, major in education, will tell you the concept readiness to learn. You can force a kid, beating her, do the math, they won't. But in the spirit of the teacher in education, there's a time they call concept of readiness to learn. Suddenly the person will come to a point, he everything ready, it click, it's open, and that person learns. And the teacher know that. And the teacher will understand what's closely, where is the moment of readiness to learn in the student, in the class. And here at the same point, the readiness to learn didn't come readily. For us, we're so stubborn to learn something new. Especially with God, we're so stubborn to learn something with God. And then God had to deal with this to us, the terrible experience. It's been we are totally immobilized. And then, if we start something, asking God for life, telling God everything happened, and then secondly request, now I'm ready, teach me. Brother and sister, didn't happen to you? That you and I lock in enough time, 30 years in this church, but resist every day about God. And maybe God had to deal in a strong way with each one of us. To the point that he forced us, pain had to put in your line, mind, and to get our attention. And to the point that when we say to God, teach me, Lord. Forget Mushiti, forget Mushitat, forget all these people. I don't learn. But in life, when it come to that point, it hit me so hard, and then I lie in dust there, and I say to God, teach me, Lord, your spirit. Have it come to your life, the point that you talk to God? Not merely the first request that revive me, give me life. Not merely go through telling God everything happened to you honestly and cleanly, and experience the God answer you. And secondly, come to the point, say to God, teach me. My heart's ready. What does it mean? It means that the heart has been broken by the cruelty of reality. Allah. Make sure that sooner or later, life will break you. Life is cruel. Life will break every one of us. And the saving point is at that point. You and I can say to God, give me life. Go through our life with us and say, teach me. That is in the history of God working with life, with our soul. It is the marvelous time, great time, when I humbly said to God, God brought me into the dust and said to God, teach me personally. If I didn't come to that point, and you didn't come to that point, imagine what will happen to you. And then what is it? That immediately after that, he said, make me understand the way of your precepts. The first, the second request is teach me. The third request is make me understand. Again, it's two things about dealing with knowledge. Dealing with understanding. Now I give you the clue. The reason I hit the heart down, my life go down, cut down, hit so hard, get stuck in that, because I don't have the knowledge. The knowledge from God. So the person teach me, because there are a lot of things I don't know, I need to learn. But secondly, make me understand. You not merely teach me, but there's some way you have to break in. Bring the not me outside, but the thing will get into me, that lighting up in me. I understand it. Make sense to me. The whole picture grab me inside. I understand it. Oh, thing repeat to me again, sitting in the class again. About mathematics, about trigonometry, about algebra, about calculus, all that sort of thing. It didn't happen, didn't even hear. People know it, but suddenly one day, oh, I see. Not merely formation, but the point that the formation penetrates you and transforms you, open it up, that is understanding. And the author said, Lord, not me, you teach, but I ask also that your teaching will penetrate me and give me true understanding. Brother and sister, you and I will go to lie and hit the terrible point if you and I don't have this understanding and gotten up the teaching. Why do I sit here in the church? Why do I lock my time in here if it's not for understanding that word of God care for me and touch me and tell me? And then he said that I will meditate your wonders. When God answered, wonder thing happened. The salvation come. Wonder is a thing that you cannot describe by normal language, by normal understanding, by normal procedure. It's something break through the normal. It comes from God. It is bring life. It's something that only God can do. Beyond our calculation. And then I said, now, when you teach me, and then when you give me understanding, then I'm able to meditate on the wonders. The wonder happened, but I didn't see it. I don't understand it. But now, after you give me all these things, you teach me, you give me life, you give me all that, you teach me, and then you give me understanding, then I'm able to meditate on the wonders. God did wonder thing to you and me. But you don't see it. You drop it. You throw it away. You put it in a trash can. And maybe you had to go through this terrible experience to teach you that God is there. And also, after God teaching you, understand it, and you and I will be able to meditate on the wonder. The wonder is just break through all the human boundary and have to be meditated. Had to slip in. So that's the first situation. The second situation is like this. In verse 28, my soul is weary with sorrow. The word weary there my soul just dropped out. With what? Sorrow. Pain, deep pain. Because loss. There's something big loss in me. Something just penetrate me and cut part of me down, out, and the pain gets awful. That it is sorrow, and my soul just dropped down, cannot stand anymore. The first one in helplessness, desperately helpless, can't do anything for yourself, and he goes through. The second experience, he's totally in deep pain. Can't describe it. You know what pain means? I read C.S. Lewis. He lost his wife. He's one of marvelous writer, write books everywhere, helping people. But when, in late his life, he met this lady, and they married just when she was, when she have what is it, cancer, and he married her. It just a few weeks and she died. But that marriage don't go so deeply. And when she died, he wrote a book, Grief Observed. And then you compare his book before, talk about the faith,
all the whole world with his book, learning about faith. But now this book, he's almost lost his faith. He said, when the pain comes to your mind, you might have different ways to distract it. You think something else and that. But when pain comes to your body, it's pure pain. The body just sitting there and takes the pain and cannot avoid it. Pure pain. Just shatter you. And the body has a way. When the pain so much, the whole body switch off and you are in coma. That's it. That's the way to deal with. Have you been depressed? Mentally? Or in physically? And when you're in deep pain, like this man, he said, my soul just dropped, can't live anymore. Brothers and sisters, sometimes, you know, we don't know. Normally, a little thing, something, I kick my toe against the furniture, and I jack, all that sort of thing. But when really pain, when you really have to take it, moment by moment, some of us have to take it a whole lifetime, chronic pain. I don't know what it is. Maybe Anlam knows more about that. He can help me here. But here is when the pain comes, deep pain. Then he said, fine. When you deep pain, nothing you can do. You don't want to eat. You don't want to do anything. The soul, just drop, no more. Stop. Can't do anything. Can't live, can't think, do, no. Somewhere, the only thing, escape pain. Stop the pain. That's all. I can't live this one. And he said, yeah. He said to God, request, strengthen me according to your word again. You see it again, this formula? I read in your word that you are God who give life. You want to heal. You want to maintain life. Now, I request you, according to your word, that you give strength to me in the moment of deep pain. I cannot face this pain. I cannot take it anymore. I cry. I shout. I pass out. When I come back again of consciousness, and I oh God, why I have to go through this pain? Stop it. Don't stop it. And I said, give me strength for my body, for my mind, for my soul, for my everything, emotion here. Rally something I don't have. The energy from you flow into me so I can take this. Because pain is unavoidable. You just cannot do something when you run away. You cannot stick to you. It goes deep into you. It shatters you inside. No! Give me strength. Brother and sister, have you come to the point of crying to God for strength at this point? Or just by theory? Have you come to a point that you honestly call to God, give me strength, because the pain is so much? I can't take it. And then in future, when things come, remember, like the author here, according to your will, that God in this page knows the pain. Dealing with the pain. He bore our sin in his body on the cross. Incredible pain he takes on in his body on the cross, totally shattered. If I give you something, life will give you, family, everything, give you a lot of things, prepare for your future, but maybe this is the point that the scripture will prepare you for your journey in life. That when pain comes, when you're unable to take anymore, and you're passed out and come back again, after the coma, and then you can pray this way. Give God, you are the one who gave me strength to go through this time. If you don't, What happened? Take something and your life. Too much.
When I was in the Second War, my family ran away because the bombing so much, and when one trip we come back and there's a bombing on the boat, and our little boy sitting on this my small boat looking over there, and there's one man there lying there, half of his body is gone, and he shout, and I'm little boy, and here I hear he shout, kill me, kill me, kill me, giết tôi đi, giết tôi đi, đập đầu. The lower part just gone. It's only up here. Just kill me, kill me. Giết tôi đi, giết tôi đi. Just stick to me until. They never leave me. People, remember that. But when I keep me from deceit away, be gracious to me through your love. We talk about deceit. Deceit is the effort to lead you to think, to accept what is false, what is untrue. When I know this is not true, this is false, but I talk to you in a way that lead you to accept what I say, untrue, as true, then I'm deceiving you. And this is a part of life. And scripture point here. There's a thing that's not true. It's totally false. But there's a way that presents to us that helps us, lead us to accept the untrue as true. Those false as true. And then he said, thoughts and those things do to me, people presenting to me and lead me to believe that what is untrue is true, that they deceive me. But then also that's my part too. I deliberately go out and give information to people, presenting for people, to lead people, to accept people not true as true. Both ways. Two-way street. I want to deceive my people. I deceive people too. So in this pain, he said, keep me from deceitful way. There are thousand ways deceit working. Lord, in this pain, I understand. I hit the point that there is deceit past in my life. In this way. That I had to cry to you, keep me from this one, because this is the trap. Sooner or later, it will hit the point of pain. And then he said, be gracious to me through your law. Lord, in this situation, dealing with deceit, dealing with pain, there's no way. There's no fairness here. I ask for grace, not what not deserved. In this world, there's no way to deal with this one. It's only from you, grace, mercy, understanding from you, helping me. Now, at that point, then, he understands the definition of grace straightforward. Be gracious to me. Deal with me. Give me grace in this situation. And then he says, I have chosen the way of truth. I set my heart in your law. Again, you see now, he said, because of this issue, I chosen, definitely choose the way of truth. And also, set my heart in your. The same word which was stuck up there. I was stuck in the, now I stuck with your word. Hold fast. I hold fast your step. Now you see, there's something to dealing with this pain is the way we are anchored, or not anchored in the world, in who God, what God is. Now the last point, I have to stop. It's the marvelous grace. I could not believe when I read verse 32. It just shocked me. After all the pain that shocked me, I run in the path you command, for you have set my heart free. Exactly the word set my heart free. When you make my heart wide. When you enlarge my heart,
in that pain, those situations, and systemically, you think that if you recover, you never have, and you recover, you just half life at all. But in this one, he said, now, the apostle responds, will run in your work, because we go out, what you did to me? What did you do? You enlarged my heart. My heart was shrinking, constricting. It's so squeezing. There's no space. The pain and everything just squeezed my heart in. And I can't believe. Choked me in. But now suddenly you come up. What a grace. You enlarged my heart. You opened my heart. You cut the boundary. You opened up. Did you hear the story? God opened the heart of people in desperate situation. If you don't, then you don't know anything about God. But here is my God. The God can make the people dead, alive again. Not only that, make the heart dead, open again, dream again, and lost again. This cannot happen in grace by God Himself. Oh, when I read it, I don't even understand my heart. I unable to influence my heart. But God has a key to my heart, work directly in my heart, open my heart out, lost space, able to think, able to embrace life, able to bring many things into my heart, my life. After the bitter experience, now the sweet experience of God doing my life, my heart was changed. Open it up. The boundary of my heart was thrown out. Now, I able to run. I just sit there and speechless. The last few weeks when we did. God doing the enlarging of my heart and enable me to run. And to come back, not me just walk, but run. Compete velocity with time. And the sister, did you catch it? Did you catch the way God worked in your life, my life? You see how God working in the spirit, deep spirit that you and me had no hope. And now, can you trust God that God can able to come to you and do this thing, the last thing, the word I feel I preach you, I still don't understand this one. Yes, God enlarge my heart, throw my heart out. Tons of things will invade my heart. Good thing from God, I will run. Marvelous. Only God can do. Can you trust God? Let's pray. So I don't know what to pray to you now. I'm speechless. Yes, in my life, I went through time that so much pain. Time that I'm totally stuck. I thank your way that you lead me, teach me bit by bit to trust you, to walk with you. But when I come to that word that you said that you will enlarge my heart and you will let me run with speed on your way, I simply don't understand. But I can bow down before you with my brother and sister here. Worship you. And I pray that this will not be strain to our lives, but it will be reality of our lives, that we are that kind of people who know you working directly in our lives, enlarge our lives. And then was to run the rest of our life. In Jesus' name we pray.